So we've all moved on a bit, haven't we, since I was last stood here. We've moved on in different ways, Christmas to New Year, for example. And perhaps some of us are saying, praise the Lord, that we've done that at last. Who's moved on from mince pies to hot cross buns already? We have. I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing when I went to the supermarket. I think it was the 2nd of January or something like that. And I might have even been New Year's Day, but there they were, hot cross buns all ready to go, and we're loving them already. And then Rachel really messed with my head when she came home from shopping the other day, because she brought a box of mince pies home as well. It's not right, is it? Mince pies and hot cross buns in the same cupboard at the same time. That doesn't work for me. But those, that thought of moving on, that's thought of something more to come. Easter is just around the corner, and there's so many more things for us to come. And we know that. That's why we focus on this time of year, this new year, this newness, this new opportunity that we can embrace with God and with each other. And we're doing that as church. We're moving on in our teaching series. We're moving on from our focus on those words, so where do I fit in? And now we have this focus on these new words. Lord, teach us. Teach us to pray. If you've looked at the news sheet already, notice I said if, please do that. You know, we don't produce the news sheet each week because we've got nothing better to do with our time, or Christine would otherwise be sitting at home twiddling her thumbs without anything to photocopy. We do it for a reason. Take notice of the things that go in there. Pray about the things that are in there. But if you've looked at it already, you will have noticed at the bottom of it there is our verse for the year for 2015. I think it's fair to say that we've wrestled with this a little bit more as a leadership team than we've done in previous years since I've been here. And those of you who are at our church meeting in November know that you were probably waiting for us to say, this is going to be our verse for the year, this is going to be our focus. Well, we weren't quite settled on those words just yet. But here it is, we're ready to go. And I'm going to be saying more about that as we go through this morning, and it will come up again as we go through each part of this teaching series that we have on prayer. What I want you to do, though, first of all, is just say that first word there with me. Let's say that first word, just that one word together. Pray. Say it again. Pray. And everybody, again, one more time. Pray. So I wonder then, what's going on for you now? As you hear that word, pray, and as I make you say that word, pray, what's going on for you? If you're honest, how many of you are here getting a bit anxious, a bit sweaty palmed maybe? What is he going to ask me to do next? And is it going to be out aloud? Maybe that's a real emotion for you. Or are we here and are we thinking, I am so excited. That word pray, it fills me with excitement and enthusiasm, and I just can't wait. What's happening? Where are we going next? Hopefully, some of you will think like that when you think about prayer. Just for a moment, all I'm going to ask you to do is watch a very short video clip. Now, there's a bit of a health warning that needs to come with this. If you are at all a person who is of a nervous disposition, just hold the hand of the person sitting next to you. Do that now. With your other hand, just like give me a wave. Let me know you're ready and you're okay. I don't want to cause any problems this morning. If you're at all nervous, if you can't reach, just move. You know, I see you reaching across there. Okay. Just hold on to each other, particularly if you like small, fluffy animals and you don't want to see them getting hurt. Okay, are you ready? Okay, let's watch this then. and breathe again. No animals got hurt in the making of that video. Way to go for the person that spotted that. I'm assuming that was a helicopter noise you could hear in the background, who filmed that. But what was it that possessed Mummy Duck to lead baby chicks across that busy 6-lane highway? What on earth was going on there? What, surely, you know, what would have otherwise been a scene of loveliness, wouldn't it? You know, that mother duck with baby chicks waddling along. It's lovely, isn't it? You know, we like seeing that kind of thing. What was it that possessed her to turn what would have otherwise been that lovely scene into that scene of danger and unnecessariness? We didn't need that, did we? I don't know what was the issue. We don't see what was she was taking them away from or leading them to. We don't know what the issue is. But listen, the thing is, for me, isn't that sometimes what we do with prayer? We turn it into something so complicated that, you know, in a way that was never intended to be, that it takes it away from prayer being the most natural thing that we should be doing, and turns it into something else, turns it into something that feels perhaps uncomfortable, maybe even unwanted. And then maybe we don't bother, or we just, you know, we're so limited. Be honest now, how many of you were holding your breath at times through that video clip? Okay, yes, yeah, so some of us were, weren't we? Just do that with me now. Everybody, do this with me now. I don't want anybody passing out, okay? So if you, when you're ready to exhale, just do that. Nobody needs to pass out. Although we've got doctors in the house, we don't need to use them this morning. Just take a deep breath in and hold it there. I can't hold mine and talk at the same time. Just hold there. Just exhale when you need to. Anybody still holding their breath in? Show off. Yeah, okay, just all breathe out now before anybody pass out there. We know how to breathe, don't we? And we know we need to do it. So what do? We breathe. It's simple as that. Do you know what? Prayer should be just that easy, shouldn't it? And I need to qualify that statement a bit and explain to you where I'm coming from this. Because you see, when I read the words on the screen that you'll see in a moment for this first part of our teaching series, Lord, teach us to pray. And then I read the words, just do it. You know, that's okay for me. When I was a teenager, a couple of years ago, you understand, I asked a lot of things about prayer. And particularly about why was it that I kept reading in my Bible that Jesus needed to pray? Why did he need to do that? Why did the divine Son of God keep needing to pray? Surely he didn't need to do that. Surely he knew everything already. Surely he didn't need to ask for anything. And so I wrestled with this for a bit. And, I learned a lot about prayer at that time that was formative for me. And I realized that prayer isn't all about us just coming to God and saying, oh, by the way, I need this, this, and this, and this, just in case you didn't realize. I learned that. But, you know, my starting point was asking these questions about why do we see so often in our Bibles stuff about Jesus praying himself, or telling other people to pray? What's going on? Why is that there? Why do the gospel writers spend so much time and so much careful attention documenting the prayers of Jesus, or what he said to other people about their prayer life? And you know, what I discovered has been of such profound importance to me since then, and it is this. Jesus didn't know how to live without praying any more than we can live without breathing. It's as simple as that. Jesus didn't know how to live without praying any more than you or I, anybody else we know, can live without breathing. Work through the New Testament sometime, and every time you read something about that refers to Jesus praying, either with or for other people or on his own, look at the context. Find out what was going on. Work out what it was that Jesus was praying for at that time. And as you do that, you'll notice that it's Jesus, more than anyone else, who shows us how living in relationship with God is impossible without praying. So you see, for me, reading the words, just do it, well, that's like stating the obvious, really. You know, I've never had a big problem with prayer, other than perhaps at times understanding why other people do. I don't want to offend anybody by saying that, but I wanted to mention those things before we go any further so that you know where I'm coming from. Because you see, some of the things that I might say as we go through this today might seem that I'm kind of taking things for granted a bit or just glossing over them, and I'm missing out on something vital that you need to know. Well, if I do that today, then hold on, because as we work through the whole teaching series, we need to put all of the pieces together. We need to hold it all in tension together so that we've got that complete picture, so that we can have this informed view of our prayer life, so that we can adequately journey together in prayer as God's people. But do understand this, though. I don't want to stand here and appear to be smug and saying, oh, prayer's great, prayer's easy, prayer life's perfect. It isn't. I do have periods of time when prayer is harder than other times. I do have times when I realise that I haven't actually prayed very much. I do have times when praying with other people, there are things that I could say out loud, but I choose not to, because in that moment, I just don't want people to hear what's on my mind, what's in my heart, what my struggles are. Or I sit there wondering, what are people going to think if I express it in the way that I'd really like to right now? So I hold back. And I do have occasions in prayer when I get angry with God. I'm really hoping that 2015 there'll be less of those moments than there were in 2014. But we'll see. But every time, I know this one thing without a doubt. I cannot live well without praying any more than I can survive without breathing. Anybody relate to that? I cannot live well without praying any more than I can live without breathing. We all need to be able to relate to that. So let's have a look at some of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 with me for a moment. The words are going to be on the screen, but it's good to have your Bible in front of you, because they're not going to stay there. And you might want to refer back to them, or God might prompt you to turn to another part of Scripture this morning. And if you haven't got your Bible in front of you, you can't do that. So let me encourage you to bring your Bibles with you each week. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5. I'm going to read down to verse 13. So let's read that together. Jesus says, When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for their Father knows what you have, what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, or if you prefer, trespasses or sins, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, what I want us to notice straight away here is that the words of this prayer aren't about impressing other people around you, but it's about you and God. It's relational. It's life-giving. Jesus is saying here, don't overthink it. Just do it. Don't carefully craft it. Just pray. Just do it. Pray to your heavenly Father. Some of those hearing Jesus say these things were being set free by the way that Jesus approached prayer. Others needed to know about how to be a living prayer themselves in their own lives. And everyone hearing then and now needed an encouragement to be devoted to prayer. So first of all, let's think about these words. Be set free by prayer. In Luke's account of these verses on prayer, Jesus speaks in response to a question. The disciples say to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. But it's in that Matthew's Gospel that we learn how that question doesn't come to Jesus in the midst of a private setting, a private meeting between Jesus and his disciples. If we look at Matthew 5, verse 1, just quickly, and then I'm going to look at Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29, we'll see what I mean. Matthew 5, verse 1 says this: "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." And then we flip right the way through to the end of chapter 7, where it says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law." You know, that whole section, Matthew 5 through to Matthew, the end of Matthew 7, it's what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. It's a public setting. Crowds of people are gathered around Jesus and his disciples. It's early on in Jesus' public ministry. Chances are that some of the things that Jesus said in those chapters that we have in our Bibles, it was the first time his disciples had heard him say those things. And in the crowds, think about the crowds of people there for a moment. There would have been the ones who thought and taught other people that they were the ones who held all authority. Those teachers of the law. The ones actually that Jesus criticizes here. The hypocrites on the street corners, those in the synagogues, as well as the pagans who'd learnt from them how to babble on in prayer, thinking that the only way to have a good solid prayer going on is loads and loads of words and keep it going and keep it going and keep it going until everybody's nodded off. But what Jesus says here is freeing. That's why Matthew says in chapter 7, verse 28, that the crowds were amazed. You see, if the teachers of the law that I refer to had been sticking to traditional rabbinical teaching, they wouldn't have been telling people to pray directly to the Father heart of God, but Jesus does, doesn't he? They wouldn't have been telling people that they themselves could pray directly to God without needing to go through some religious professional, the priest in the synagogue or whoever, and reach God in prayer on their own behalf. On their behalf, but Jesus told them, pray yourself, pray to your heavenly Father. It's here in the words, when you pray. You'll notice as I read the passage that I kept repeating it. When you pray, when you pray. Not if prayer is being done for you on behalf of somebody else, but when you pray. That's what Jesus expects, isn't it? Jesus expects us to pray, and he sets us free to say the words, "Our Heavenly Father." That's what amazed some people in the crowds that day, because it was different to what they were hearing. It was new to them. It was perhaps revolutionary even to them. It would have wound some of them up as well. Those who thought that they were the clever ones who held all the authority, they perhaps wouldn't have been so pleased to hear Jesus speaking in this way. But we need to focus on that kind of thing another time. Just think here about the freedom in prayer that Jesus gives us, that he gives to you. He says, don't think that you need to be impressive with your prayers or use more words, fancy words, than the person next to you. Just be yourself. Just pray. Enter fully into that awesome relationship you have with God as Father and talk to him. That's what prayer is, isn't it? It's about our relationship with God that's only kept fully alive through the intimacy, the privilege, and the gift of prayer. That's for everybody. Jesus wants all of us to know that freedom in prayer. He wants all of us to know that we're free in prayer, to be ourselves with God and with each other. He wants to set us free from worrying about what others will think about the words we use. He wants us to be set free from worrying about the time commitment it takes to come to a prayer meeting. And he wants us to be free of the guilt that we are so good at lumping on each other when we didn't make it to the prayer meeting. Jesus wants us to be free, to be people of prayer in a way that comes in as naturally to us as breathing. so that we'll be this living prayer. Our lives will be lives of prayer that reflect Jesus in every way. Be set free in prayer so that you can be a living prayer. That's what we're going to move on to. Be a living prayer. I'm not going to actually say much about these next few verses because what comes out of them will be focused on next week and in other parts of the teaching series. But we need to notice these things, though. If Jesus is encouraging us here to feel set free in prayer, then what is he freeing us up for and what is he setting us free to? Well, Jesus is freeing us up in prayer for us to understand the fullness of relationship with God. That has us being held by the Father heart of God and leads us on to being freed up in prayer to live fully in relationship with him and with each other. And in verse 11, that's about us knowing through Jesus the abundance of God's daily provision in our lives. In verse 12, it's about us knowing through the example of Jesus and as we embrace his teaching in our lives, it's about us knowing how to live well in relationship with those around us. In verse 13, it's about us making conscious decisions to live our lives in ways that honour God and glorify the name of Jesus. That's all there for us as God's gift of grace, as we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And so in those ways, we let Jesus transform us as we live a life of prayer with him. That happens in the very moment that we first accept Jesus into our lives, but it doesn't end there. If it did, why would Jesus say, when you pray, in a kind of an ongoing, a repeating kind of way? Being a living prayer isn't about one moment or some following somebody else. It's about doing it ourselves, coming back again and again and again to our bond of relationship with Jesus and drawing from him through the Holy Spirit all that we need to live well in every aspect of our lives. You know, when we pray, when we pray, we're fueling our relationship with Jesus, aren't we? That needs to be happening all of the time, not just in those moments when we're encouraged by somebody up the front to pray, or just in those moments when we're carried by others in prayers around us. It's okay to pray in those moments. Don't hear that wrongly. But we're set free in prayer to be a living prayer all of the time in every aspect of our lives. But you know what? That's only going to happen if we let ourselves be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. That's a big word, that word, devoted. Just turn with me, if you've got your Bibles there, to Colossians chapter 4. I'm only actually going to read one verse. I might have read it by the time you've turned to it, but turn to it anyway. Colossians 4, verse 2 says this. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You know, here, the call to be devoted to prayer is as unmissable as the words of Jesus saying, when you pray. Hold those two things together. When you pray, be devoted to prayer. But what does it mean? How does it shape how we feel about prayer? How does it inform our need to pray? What does it do for us? Well, each of those questions that I've just very quickly fired out there, each one of them is worthy of a sermon in its own right. We can't begin to move towards answering those questions without holding on to what prayer is, can we? Prayer is our lifeline. It's what enables us to live fully in relationship with God rather than being controlled beings with no free will, no voice, no emotion. Try this week. If you're married, don't speak to your husband and wife at all. Not once. See how long it takes to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Some of you are looking like, you're not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Just try and get through life without communicating with your nearest and dearest. How's that going to happen? It's not going to work, is it? Try going into a shop and not being able to find the thing you want and needing to ask, but not using words. It's just not going to work, is it? You know, God gives us this freedom in life. He gives us free will. He gives us a voice. He gives us our emotions. And it's because we have all of those things that we need to pray. Jesus explains that in Luke 11, verses 5 through to 13, with a story that ends with what appears to be a question. But when we look at it in our Bibles, we might easily think, actually, the proofreader got overlooked a punctuation error. Jesus says, "If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You can say that with the tone of a question, can't you? But that's not what's going on there. It sounds like a question, but there's an exclamation mark at the end of the sentence in our Bibles. Why is that? Well, it's not a question, it's a statement of fact. God has done everything possible to give us the way that we need to keep close in our relationship with him, to be strong and open and vibrant in our relationship with him. And that's by giving us the ability to have this unbreakable, intimate bond of relationship that's ours through prayer. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." That really is a statement that is a just do it kind of statement. Look out for your life by checking in with God in conversation with him. Draw strength from him when you need that. Seek help, seek guidance, seek comfort, support. Give praise and thanksgiving. Say thank you to God in prayer. Say sorry when you need to do that. That's what that verse is actually saying, just in those few words. All the things that we need to have a strong relationship with each other are exactly the same as what we need to have a strong relationship with God. And they're all made possible. How? Say the word again. Pray. Here's our church verse for the year again. Pray that Christ Jesus and the church will forever bring praise to God. His power at work in us can do far more than we dare ask or imagine. That sentence wouldn't make sense without the word prayer at the beginning. Pray at the beginning. Those words, as you're reading them there, they're from a different part of the Bible and a different version to the one that I'm reading from today. But here it is again. Pray. Just do it. Over these coming weeks, I want to encourage you to bring all your thoughts about prayer to these times. Whether that's excitement or whether it's hang-ups, just bring it all here. And let God renew you in your prayer life. Bring it all to each part of this teaching series. And I know that whether you're a confident prayer or you're someone who's quiet in prayer, particularly when other people are around you, that that's all okay. But only if the way that we pray ourselves enriches our walk with Jesus, enriches our relationship with him. So that adds to our relationship with God. And then therefore, in turn, we can use that to add to our relationship with each other. Richard Foster, and some of you would have read his books, he suggests that an obstacle to effective prayer isn't that we're necessarily that we're too busy or that we lack the faith to pray or that we don't know how important prayer is. But instead, he says in these words I'm going to read in a moment, that one of the biggest obstacles to prayer is perhaps more about our attitude, our thoughts. And he says this, "We will never have pure enough motives or be good enough or know enough to pray rightly. We simply must set all those things aside and begin praying. Just do it." We don't all need to pray in the same ways, but we all need to pray. We don't all need to be inspired by the same kinds of prayers or comfortable with all the different streams of spirituality that each add a depth of richness into our prayers. But we need to pray. We need to pray, and we need to be able to enable each other to pray without being critical, without being obstructive. God frees us in prayer to see new things, to see the new things that he has to bless us with and to show us the things that he longs to see strengthening his church so that we can take all of the life transforming ways of Jesus on board for ourselves and so that we, just as importantly, can take them to other people as well. We have the example here, don't we, of Jesus calling people to prayer, showing people how to pray.
how to be a living prayer that's attractive, something that people are drawn to. Not drawn to us, not attracted to us, but to Jesus and by his ways of transforming love. And so we need to be devoted to prayer. Just do that. Amen.